Good morning. It's great to see all y'all out today. Since we don't have a screen, Karen gave me the, how many we had this morning. We had 33 youth and children. We had 80 adults, a total of 113. It's a good crowd out for this cold day. So great to see all you out. Do we have any visitors this morning? If you are, would you please stand? Any visitors? So glad to have you all here with us this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. Talk about another fruit of the Spirit, talking about real gentleness. And, you know, sometimes we think of gentleness as being somebody who's weak. It's not being weak at all. And, you know, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we will show gentleness to other people, and especially when they fall. You know, we don't want to just, you know, keep on if they fall. We need to forgive them. We need to pick them up and help them. And as mature Christians, we need to help them in the walk of the Lord and help them to get on with their walk. And, you know, sometimes they just need a little bit of encouragement. As I always say, encourage somebody. You know, find somebody this week that you can help. And I'd just like to wish each one of you a happy Thanksgiving and a blessed Thanksgiving, and I pray that you'll be able to have time to spend with your family. And if there's somebody who's down and out, maybe doesn't have food or something, and God directs you that way, help them out this Thanksgiving. Make their day and their life a completely different, make it a complete change for them. There will be no noon service or Wednesday evening service this Wednesday, and the church office will be closed Thursday and Friday, the 23rd and the 24th, so remember that. And the institution ministry is going to be going to the Summerfield next Sunday, November the 26th at 2:30, so remember that. Season of Saints is collecting food. If you have wanted to donate, talk to Barbara Tucker or Mildred Lamar. Our Happy Birthday Jesus is coming up December the 6th. And keep that in mind. All the things are in the bulletin about that. So be praying for that and be sure to participate in that. I have a book signing. It's Saturday, November the 25th. That's this Saturday from 2 to 4. It's going to be the Honey Brothers Coffee Shop on Bardstown Road. And that's located in Gardner Lane Shopping Center. And Sue Anna Hunt. And it's called Mary the Last, Sue Anna Hunt, so keep that in mind. And Miss Leon was talking about the children. They need to practice. You know, we got Christmas coming up. So just as soon as church is over with, take your children back and so we can practice and get started and practice their singing. So remember that and help her out there. And pray for the ones that are on the program this morning. Pray for our pastor as he is preaching this morning. And Ron has an announcement he'd like to make about basketball. Thank you.
They're playing basketball.
All around the world.
We love their basketball.
To the beach,
y'all. They're playing basketball.
All around the
we
world.
Love their basketball.
Y'all know.
Thank you, Ron. You know, I'm really blessed today. I got to thinking, you know, because God loves me. And he loved me first, God did. And I'm really blessed because of that. But, you know, getting back to basketball ministry, it's going really good. But we need workers, what we need. We need a few more workers. So we need people working in the concession stand. We need a few people for cleanup details and things like that. So if you have time, you don't have to do it every Saturday. If you have a Saturday you could spare, there's a sign-up sheet back there in the back. Please sign it in the day you can do it. Or you can see Jackie, or you can see me, or Brother John Crittenden. Okay? Thank you.
Morning, church. I've been asked to do a call to worship. And when I was asked to do it, you know, didn't know really what I would say, and so I asked God, you know, give me something to say. And so, you know, I was thinking, and all that kept coming to mind was just to tell this story. And so I'll share this story with you real quick. So it was about a year and a half ago. My marriage was in really bad shape. So much so that, you know, divorce papers were in hand. And we were on the verge of destroying something that God had brought together. And all I could think about is that I didn't want this to happen. But, and thank God there's a but.
Yes.
You know, I started to cry out to God, and my wife started to cry out to God, and people on our behalf started to cry out to God for us. And because of that, God started to move in our lives, and he saved our marriage, and he saved our family. Absolutely. And I'm forever grateful to God for that, that he would do that for us. And I shared this with you because I don't believe that God brings us through things for us to keep them to ourselves. So it don't bother me to share that with you because we all go through some things. And also I wanted to share it with you because I want you to know how good God has been to me and my family, and has blessed us tremendously. I can't name it all. He's just been so good. And I know that there's not a person in here that God hasn't been good to, that he hasn't brought you through something, and that he hasn't blessed. And with that, you know, if God has been good to you, stand up and give God some praise. You know, God deserves our best, and he gave us his best. He gave us his son, Jesus, and just for that alone, we should be in here ready to praise God this morning. Let's give God some glory.
Good morning, church. This morning's call to worship, the musical call to worship, we're asking that the congregation would help by participating. We sang it last Sunday, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." And the second part is very simple, "For he is worthy." Yes, he is worthy and he is good. And I want us to think about it, this season of Thanksgiving. God is always good. It doesn't matter what is going on in our lives. This has been a very trying year, I know, for this family. But as Christians, we can even rejoice in our trials because God promises us that even in the hard times, that he's working something awesome in us. So we can always, always have a reason to give thanks unto the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through it twice. So just listen. And when I turn to you, just be prepared to participate. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for he is worthy. Yes, he is good.
Oh, give thanks
myself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 13, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I've served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We have Zariana here who's going under the water. Let the church say amen. My sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In a moment, Brother Brockington will be leading us in prayer. There's a lot to pray about. I invite you to come to the altar if you feel so moved to do so. It's up for you to make that decision. But a lot has happened, and a lot is happening. Imogene Thomas, brother-in-law, passed away. That's why she isn't here today. Roger, Skip's cousins, Freddie Hampton, Charlie Hampton, Carolyn Hampton, all passed away in the last 3 months. We don't know what the future holds for any of us, and it is wise for us to cast our cares upon him because he's able to keep us in the times of seriousness in our lives. The invitation is open. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything. Everything to God in prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come out another day, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the thus far the year in which you brought us through, Father. Oh, Father God, we just desire to praise you this day, Father. Father, we pray and ask that you touch each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you cleanse us from all wrong, Lord God. Move in our lives, Father God. Oh, Father God, let us not forget the benefits in which you have bestowed in our lives, Father God. So let us give thanks, Father God. Let us give thanks, Lord God, in our doings, Father God. In the life, Father God, in which we exhibit, Father God. Oh, Father God, we pray, Father God, for those, Father God, that have lost loved ones, Lord. We pray that you continue to be with them, Father God, that you comfort those families, Father God. Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, for our sick and shut in, Lord, that you bless, watch over them, Father God. Comfort them, Lord God. Give answers, Father God, in their lives, Father God. Help those loved ones, Lord God, that is grieving with them, Father. And Father God, we pray, Father God, for the man of God, Lord, that you continue to move in his life. Continue to strengthen him, Lord. Continue to bless and watch over his wife, Lord God, as she's a help, Father God. Father God, we pray for our church, Lord God, that we continue to move, Father God, in the direction, Father God, in which the man of God is showing us, Father God, in which God directs him, Father. Lord, let us be a light unto our community, Father God, that, Father God, that we may help others, Father God, that they may come, Father God, and ask, what must I do to be saved, Father? Father God, we just pray and ask that you bless this service and bless, Father God, those that are here today, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 448. Would you please stand if you feel up to it? If not, you may sit and sing anyway. Hymn 448.
Time for our mission offering and fellowship.
Thank you. I may not know very much, but I know the word of God is true. And if you read your Bible and you have no doubt, serving God in spirit and truth from the inside out.
Inside out. Inside out. You must serve by Jesus from the inside out. Inside out. Inside out. You must serve by Jesus from the inside out.
I know I'm a child and I may not know very much, but I know the word of God is true. And if you read your Bible and you have no doubt, serving God in spirit and truth from the inside out.
Inside out. Inside out. You must serve my Jesus from the inside out.
Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, we want to hallelujah today. All right, now Hallelujah. Great job, girl, boys. Great job. Offertory time. Time to give back just a little bit of what God give us. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for giving us just a life, Lord. A life that we can share back with people that we come in contact with, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you just bless the ones that have it to give and the ones that do not have, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you bless this offering and tithe, that we can be used to the betterment of your kingdom, Lord. For it's in your son's precious name I pray. Amen.
It is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I had just accepted the call to preach. I was both excited and troubled by the call because I realized the seriousness of such an assignment. But having prayed and having listened and movement by the Spirit of God, I had decided to make my calling known. It was more than a coincidence that I opened the Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, which said, "Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give a sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they are evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty, utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is he that thou shouldest not vow than to vow thou shouldest vow and not pay." I want to talk today about standing on his promises, or what everybody ought to know. These are days of unprecedented intellectual awareness. They're smart everything, smartphones, smart cars, smart, these are in fact explosion of knowledge for good and for bad. But there are no words that come from anywhere than better than the Word of God. It is an age of education, and education is a civil rights issue of our time. Evidently, Timothy had terrible tendencies toward timidity. Paul appeals for his faithfulness, because he recognized that there was no game to play, and he realized the seriousness when God places a call on our lives for any assignment. It doesn't have to be just preaching the gospel. It has to do with whatever God has gifted and invested in us, that we carry out the responsibility and the assignment that God has for us. But one thing is for certain, we have to know what our calling is and know what it takes to carry it out for the glory of God and the good of people that you serve. I said earlier, evidently Timothy had terrible timidities toward tenderness. And Paul appeals to his faithfulness and letting him know that everybody ought to know what everybody ought to know in order for them to carry out the work that God. One thing we most certainly do know, we must know the truth, for the truth shall set us free. Our blessed Lord made clear to us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me." All of us need to recognize and respond appropriately and intelligently to the call that God places upon our lives. I'm not here to spend a whole lot of time today. You've been blessed by song and prayer and everything that has been before my standing here today. Paul says in verse 12 of this text, talking to Timothy, he said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." The call that upon his life realized that it was going to even bring suffering. But Paul said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I believe that we ought to be persuaded that we can carry out the assignment that God has given to us to carry out. And sometimes it isn't easy. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about being meek and those kinds of things, because there will be times in our lives that meekness can turn into weakness if we don't watch ourselves. But we have to recognize that Paul is saying, no matter what happens in my life, I'm not ashamed. I'll be talked about sometime. I'll be misunderstood sometime. I'll be misquoted sometime. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. If there ever was anything that we ought to believe, it ought to be the word of God, and certainly ought to be the God of the word. We know he is, and we ought to serve with gladness. I'm glad Paul said, "I'm persuaded that he is able to keep." God can keep whatever you commit to him against that day. Payday doesn't come the first time you get started serving God, but you continue serving God and give to the Lord the best that you have, and I promise the best will come back to you. I know that not because I read something. I know it out of experience. I know out of all the things that God has allowed and privileged me to do. And I tell you what, it is a privilege to be a part of the family of God. It is a blessing to be a blessing as God's Spirit works through us, that people might get saved, people might have their lives changed for the better rather than worse. I'm thinking right now, I wanted to say several things that come out of this text. First thing, we ought to know whom to confess. And Paul put it like this, "For I know whom I have believed." Now the question is, how well do you know him? And second to that, how much do you trust him? Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." I know that there are times and there are people you can't really believe. Not everybody's promises can be stood on. I know that in your life, somewhere along the line, somebody made some good promises. You know what I'm really trying to say? But it just didn't come out the way that it was said in the first place. But I believe with all of my heart, every one of us ought to know whom to confess. And I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I praise God for the glorious opportunity. He says that if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it did not say that you might be saved, but that you shall be saved. I'm so glad that we are safe and secure in our relationship with God if we follow him, trust him, and obey the word that he has given to us. Everybody ought to know whom to confess. And I don't know why some folk are timid and act like they, when they're in church. You know what I'm trying to say. We'll praise God. Get outside, we act like we don't know him sometime. But we ought to know whom to confess. I'm glad that he says, if you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that he can be, that he, what he has done for you, you can be saved. Secondly, everybody ought to know whom to confess. Paul puts it like this, "For I know whom I have believed." I ask you today, have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said, "I know whom I believe." I'm glad to know that today I know whom I have believed. I've had people that have made promises, apparently they didn't even intend to keep. It's a sad thing that we promise God that if he saves us, we're going to serve him. And we tell one another how we're going to serve God. But we ought to know that we are dealing with a wonderful God that makes possible our salvation. And like I already said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can do for us what he can do. There's a song, "Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus." Does anybody in here know that there's somebody equal to him? I know beyond a shadow of doubt, he's able to keep all of our investments, investment of our time, and I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. We ought to really be serious about church membership. We ought to be really be serious about being witnesses so that people can see Jesus in us. Let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm not talking about glorify myself. And sometimes that's too prominent and prevalent in the lives of all of us. We ought to know whom to confess. I'm glad that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wish everybody under the sound of my voice would not be ashamed. He said that if we're ashamed before him, he'll be ashamed of us before his Father. Secondly, we ought to know whom to confess. And the second thing, we ought to know what to commit. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we ought to make our commitments, make up our mind, and commit to the assignment that God has given to us. I don't know how you feel about it today, but I'm glad that he had confidence in me, even though reminding me how I am to deport myself wherever I am and whatever the occasion I may be dealing with. Everybody ought to know what to commit. I don't know how you feel about it, but I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't know what you've committed, what kind of commitment you made, but I've known people to walk down the aisle and declare that they love the Lord and that's going to serve him. But you know what happens? You've been around long enough to when somebody said that they've committed something but they don't carry it out. In our marriages, whenever we make commitments, say to our mate that I'm going to love you, all these good words that we say, we ought to be committed to carrying it out. Now, y'all know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes things don't unfold the way you want them to all the time. But if we make a commitment, we ought to live up to that commitment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Living up to that commitment. You know what I'm saying? That he's done so much for us. Whatever we say we're going to commit, we ought to make sure that we carry it out. I'm glad today that he calls us to surrender to his lordship and do the things that he would have us to do. We ought to know what we ought to invest. I'll say some things about what we ought to invest. He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm glad that there's going to be a day when we will stand in his presence. There'll be a day when we have to answer to him for all that he has done for us and what we have done in response to his call and the blessing that he has given to us. We're told to go in the vineyard and work, is what Jesus says. And whatever is right, I will pay. And I know that it pays to serve Jesus. It has paid in my life, and I've seen it pay in so many people's life because of their faithfulness. Let me say four things, and I'll try to be finished. First of all, we are to present our temple, our bodies. I hope and pray that we recognize Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. It should be evident that the Spirit of the living God not only is around us, but He lives within us. I'm glad that I know that. I'm so thankful that this body, every child of God, need to recognize that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And He's all-powerful. If He's living within us and He's all-powerful, we ought to be able to be successful in the things that God has called us to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul says in another situation, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're not doing God a favor when you recognize that the Spirit of God lives within you and live your life in accord with what God would have you to do. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How do we treat our bodies? He lives in us. I used to talk about Him walking and talking with me, but He's on the inside of every one of us that are the children of God. First of all, we present our temple and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Second thing we ought to do is to present the Lord some time. I know we live in a busy time. There are chores to carry out. There are problems to solve. There are situations to deal with. But I don't understand how we can find time for everything else and not find time from the one that even gives us time and created time in the first place. We ought to present Him some time. You know, we can spend time at ball games. I'm not against that. And I'm told that a game doesn't last for so long, but every time all the other stuff, it seems like it's going to be all day. But we find time for anything that we like to do. I don't understand why we can't find time for the one who created time, the one that gives time. I know I'm right about this. Why? Do we make other things so important that we don't mind hanging in there? But when it comes to working in the kingdom of God, we act like we don't know we're supposed to be busy. I've had some jobs in my life, and I have not had one where they called me to sit down. We had a man in one place where I would look out the window and keep on asking for some more time and some more contributions and more effectiveness. And I really believe with all of my heart. I don't know how you feel about what I'm saying right now, but if you ever had time for anybody, time to prepare, time to present, time to witness, time to live our lives in a way that brings glory to God, I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, you may not think I feel good, but I do. I feel better than I look. How about that? And I really believe with all my heart, we ought to give God time. He gave us time. And we ought to give Him time. I'm not finished. I got two more I want to talk about. We ought to be willing to give God our talents. God has given all of us a talent. And I tell you, everybody can't sing in the choir. You know how I know that? It's because I can't. But I believe with all my heart, whatever your talent is, you ought to be using it to the glory of God and not just to your own benefit. To God be the glory of great things He has done, and He has also fixed it so we can do great things for His glory and for the good of those who need to know more about Him. I'm glad that I have a little bit of talent, and I recognize that every Christian has a gift. I don't know what your gift is. You may not know, but you ought to find out and then use it to the glory of Almighty God. I don't know all of that, but what I do know, I'm glad that I know it. And one thing I do know, I'm glad that I know whom I have believed, and that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't know how long I got left, but I really thank God that I've been busy up until this time. You know what I'm really trying to say? How is it that we can get busy about everything on the agenda and don't have time for the one that gave you time? I know I'm right about this. So we ought to be willing to give him time, but then we ought to be able to give him talent, not just singing in the choir, but everybody has a responsibility. Everybody has a charge to keep. Everybody has a God to glorify. And whatever we do, we ought to do it for the glory of God, not for pats on the back and for somebody to brag on us. You know what I'm talking about? I think you know what I'm talking about. And I'm almost at the end of it. I believe that everybody ought to take time to find out, if you don't already know, what your gifts are, and bring that into the body of Christ and use it to the glory of God. And then there is just one more that I got to do. We ought to give God our treasures. Lord have mercy. Y'all know what treasures are? You're talking about tithes and offering. I knew I was going to get somewhere where I ought to get somebody's attention. He's able to keep that which we commit unto him against that day. I don't understand how we can spend so much money for everything else, but we are always broke when you come into the house of God. If anybody ought to be high on your list, it's to make sure that the church is able to do what God has called us and saved us to do. You know what I'm trying to say? We buy expensive toys for our children. You know what I'm trying to say? And impressive outfits to dress up in, nice automobiles from nice automobiles that we can travel, wonderful wardrobes where we can change. You know what I'm trying to say? Two or three times a day, we have money for everything, but when it comes to the one that gave you money, when you go to the one that is the one that's been blessing you, and then you run out when you get to him. I don't mean to be meddling in somebody's life. I'm standing here to be a blessing. Lord said, try me. Test me. Now, you try some stuff you don't need to try. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about no try on high. You know what I'm really trying to say. But we ought to recognize that you can't beat God-given no matter how you try. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad today that I know him, and I'm also glad that he knows me. I'm glad today that I still have the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does it sound good what I'm talking about today? Somebody ought to give God some praise, some honor, and some glory. And I don't mind telling anybody that I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't have to compete with somebody else, but I am what I am by the grace of God. A church shouldn't have to struggle, because we ought to do what God tells us to do. I don't understand why somebody can believe and put confidence in the... Y'all know what I'm really trying to say. You know what I'm really trying to say. And not put faith in Almighty God. Now, I'm almost finished. But do you know the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein? I don't like to see churches struggling because people won't do what God would have them to do. You know what God tells us? Test me and try me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you will not be able to receive. I have experienced that almost all of my life. I'd be blessed from here, another opportunity over there, while I'm carrying out my responsibilities wherever I've been, because God will keep his word. How many in here know how to keep your word? How many here know that he'll keep his word? He will never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. I'm really glad today that we have this opportunity, and we also have this responsibility. I'm about to sit down right now. We ought to know when to collect. There's going to be a time that we will have to give an account for what has been done in the days of our lives. I'm just about finished, but I'm so glad today that he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. I don't know when that day is going to come, but I do know what he's saying right now. You don't get all the blessings right now, but there are blessings enough for us to do everything that God tells us to do. But that day is coming when the real reward is given to us. We ought to know him as Savior and Lord of our lives. He has plans for us. And somebody put it like this: when this earthly house, a tabernacle, is dissolved, I have a building of God, a house not made by hands. There won't be no rent, no utility bills. Can I get a witness? In God's house, you don't get it all here. God got something better waiting for us. I'm glad, and I am getting ready to sit down. But why don't we understand that? When we stand before him, don't you want him to say, "Well done, good, not perfect"? Are there any perfect folk in here? We don't know how to reach that. But I tell you one thing for sure. God has something better than what you're going to find in planet Earth. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I've lived in all kind of places. Haven't reached mansion work yet. I've never known anything about mansions. But can you just imagine right now that Jesus is gone to prepare a place for us. And then he said, "If I plan a place for you, I'm going to come unto you and take you there." I'm glad about that. We're blessed to be a part of the family of God. If you're here today without Christ, the opportunity is yours. He says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." Invitation is open. Come if God's Spirit speaks to you. Whatever that may be. Church home, prayer, whatever it is. Anybody standing on that promise? Let me pray softly. Our Father in heaven, there are so many promises made by businesses, in politics. Everybody promises something greater than the next. And we've had broken hearts because people did not fulfill the promise. But Lord, you can't fail. We need to know that we can't fail when we stand on your promises. You came that we might have life, not just when we get to heaven. You came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You want us to have joy even in times of sorrow. You want us, dear Heavenly Father, to trust you even when things seem to be difficult and dark. Oh God, speak as only you can. Speak to hearts of those who are hungry and may not even be sure what they're hungry for. I'm praying right now, Lord, as we continue this song, Standing on Your Promises. There may be those who have been disappointed by so many and so many times that they don't have enough faith and confidence in you. But help them to understand you have come that they might have life, not just in time, but also in eternity. And it's my prayer right now, Lord, that if there's anybody in here that have been touched by your spirit or you spirit, I pray that they will take advantage of this opportunity because we don't know how long we have opportunities. And I pray, Lord, that as you move, they will move. We ask it in Jesus' name. Be seated for just a moment, please. Just a moment. Ms. Milby, come and make that presentation. You may be seated for a moment.
We have one certificate today. Zariana, will you come forward, please? And as she's coming forward, she shared with me that she's 17 and a student at J-Town High School. And I just ask that each and every one of you pray for her. As in this world, there's so many temptations. And pray that she can continue her walk with God and her follow that, know that we're all here to pray for her and be for her for anything that she may need. This certifies that Zariana Wise was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit on Sunday, November 19, 2017, at St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights of Louisville, Kentucky. Lincoln N. Bingham, pastor.
Thank you so much for that decision. You are now part of the family of this body of believers in Jesus Christ. Any last word? We are dismissed.